This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, guten tag and how do bastard. Welcome to Down the Dog with me, John Richardson.
And me, taken so much by surprise by the multilingual, appalling introduction. Pull up a pew. We're all here. We're all mates today. We're Down the Dog.
Pep Guardiola. I don't think I like him. I'm going to put that on record now. I don't like the way he's dealt with Calvin Phillips. I'm bored of him and his fucking turtlenecks. He said of Phil Foden this week, the pressure for Phil would be if he had to do a press conference about the last book he read. But football, he loves it.
Did he say that? Yeah. You're kidding.
Who's saying that for?
But you know what? If Cluffy would have said it, we'd have all laughed along, wouldn't we? He'd say, oh, that's clever. Did he really say that about Phil? You're really upset about this, aren't you?
I just think he's starting to bully his own players.
But maybe that's how he motivates
He's slagging off Calvin Phillips' way. He's basically saying Foden's thick and he doesn't read. I mean, yeah.
Maybe it's his way of keeping his feet on the floor. He's got a precocious young talent who's tearing up the Premier League, who potentially is part of an England squad that, let's hope, brings glory to these shores at the Euros. And maybe it's just his way of going, very good at football. I can't deny that, but you're thick as mints. But you can't, this is the thing, I think you and I both agree on this. You might not, footballers might not always be academic, but there's a level of sporting intelligence you have to be an elite player.
Yeah, oh, I totally agree. And then there's a definite link between intelligence and players who play in a certain position, I think. Like that centre of the park. Well, I think there's sort of defensive midfield is where you get, and possibly centre-half, but to a more extent, I would say defensive midfield is where you find the most intelligent footballers, because that role is about being able to read the game going forward and coming back and understanding your position at a level that I don't think other centre-half sort of knows where they need to be all the time. Ditto a winger, ditto a striker, ditto a classic central midfielder. But I think that new role of sort of sitting between the two, sometimes going forwards, having that pressure to be on the edge of the box when you needed, but also to cover for a centre-half who's gone missing. That takes a lot of intelligence.
Bellingham, Vieira. You think of those players, you think you are highly intelligent people.
Yeah.
Case closed. Absolutely spot on. But Guardiola has been ranked the fourth most handsome manager in the Premier League.
Don't he know it, though?
No, but fourth. You know what? Just to give you the top five, number five, Thomas Frank. I think that's mad, given that Marco Silva's six. Marco Silva's good looking.
Oh, yeah. Silva's fitter than Frank. No question about it. He's done bloody well. What is this, Premier League? Or is this like...
Premier League.
He's done bloody well there, Thomas Frank.
I think he has. Guardiola, four. Gary O'Neill, three. I think he's the ugliest. Arteta, two. Rob Edwards, one. I completely agree with that. Rob Edwards is classic handsome.
He is, but I think Arteta's more in my sort of... that's what I'm looking for.
I think it's because you look a little bit like him. If you had to look... Maybe De Zerbi you look a bit like. You look like a mix of De Zerbi, Marco Silva and Arteta. But like, put them all three of them together, make them a minger, and you got Eureka. Like a minger version.
There's something about the brooding Spanish Arteta that he'd be my number one, I think.
Yeah, but he does look about it. I think he feels a bit like an android.
Yeah, that's what I want. I just want an android who's going to give me a good seeing to.
He wouldn't give you a good seeing to.
No, I don't mean in a... gently, he would. He'd hit all the right... You know, you look at how he's got that team playing and you just think he knows which zones to hit.
Nah. I'll tell you who I want. Postecoglou or Dyche.
Wilder.
No. Too feral.
Chicken and chips and then an absolute rock in bed.
Nah, Wilder would nod off before it started. Wilder would be on his back snoring like a hippo. There'd be nothing going on.
He's Rob eating Edwards. A sandwich. He's eating a sandwich while I'm trying to have sex with him.
Oh, man. Got to be the worst time to eat.
I'm pleased to see Howe not make top five.
Do you know what? I think had he stayed a bit more slender, he might be up there. Company, I agree with at eight. He's got to lose the baseball cap for me. I get worried. Where's it? I think he looks better without it.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Gary O'Neill's number three. Gary O'Neill, I think, looks like a bit rough. He looks like a naughty boy.
What paper is this in?
No, it's the Sun, obviously.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
It's not the Observer, is it?
Out of kilter for the Financial Times.
Yeah.
The company things. You know, sometimes you see someone wear something. So like when I see Guardiola in a turtleneck, I think when I'm an older gentleman, and I'm going grey very quickly at the moment, quite upsetting, hence the regular haircuts. I'm going bald and grey. I don't like it. So I just keep it very short. But when I see him in a turtleneck with the sort of grey beard and the shaved head, I think it's okay. If that's what I look like in 10 years, I don't mean I'll look like him, but I can keep a nice trimmed, neat little salt and pepper beard and a black turtleneck. There's a style to that. I also see a future in the baseball cap and jacket and t-shirt combo. And then when I see company in it, I think, no, it doesn't look good.
John, you are not Vincent Kompany. So what's good for the Belgian goose isn't necessarily good for the Lancaster gander. And you have great hair. I've always said that I think you're a good looking man. And actually, a bit of grey, it does you a lot. It adds a bit of texture. It adds a bit of colour. The salt and pepper look is in. You've got good thick hair. And I think the current style you're going for, which is very short at the sides but still keeping a bit of length on top, really does you a lot of favours. And I think also you have the features to pull off boldness. I think you would look good. It pains me to say this. I think you're a bit like Beckham. I think any look you commit to, you'll look good.
I mean, bloody podcast title there. I think you're a bit like Beckham. I'll take that.
But what I mean is Beckham, whatever he wears, whatever he does, he looks good. He's got the body and the face to pull it off. And he commits to the full look, doesn't he? I think he would do the same. I think you're good looking. Rob Edwards at number one, which I do. I know I read out the league. He is so far. He was top at Christmas. Do you know what I mean? Like, he is 30 points clear in my mind. He is unusually good looking for a football manager, for a human being.
It definitely makes a difference to how people perceive Luton, I think, as a football club, the sort of plucky underdog with the sort of Hollywood-looking manager. I think if you put Wilder in charge at Luton and they're playing the same football and in the same position, don't think there's that sense of wanting them to do well.
We are, as a species, biased towards good-looking people. We do think a little bit better of them. We want them to like us.
Absolutely. It's why we work together.
Yeah. But you're the better-looking.
The underdog and bastard.
But you, I think you are handsome, and I think that must be. Oh, do you think in friendships, as in relationships, there is a level of physical attraction?
Oh, this is not a thread that I.
No. But what I mean is, But what I mean is not sexual. But you think, I quite like the look of him in some way. Like, oh, he's not too cocky, or he looks a bit meek or something, or his eyes remind me of my granddad, whatever it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't befriend, no offense to you, I wouldn't befriend anyone who was too handsome, I don't think, unless we sort of got to know each other. If I just saw a man who was very stylish, I'd think, fuck off.
Okay.
You know, I think that first night we turned up when we met in Nottingham, and you were wearing a tweed jacket and ill-fitting Asda jeans. And those shoes, you know, you appealed to me as a man I could befriend, shall I say. And you are a handsome man. You're tall, you've got lovely hair, you've got nice eyes.
Do you think?
I complimented you on your teeth this week, which are in immaculate condition.
I've started using interdental brushes for the last year. I've never got on with flossing. I couldn't, because my hands have eczema, it wouldn't just make my teeth bleed. But, well, the gum. It would also make my fingers bleed. Oh. So I was like, this is no good. It's like violin strings here. But incidental brushes, Now, that's something I can get on board with. Very easy to do. I enjoy the sensation. And if you get the bits in between your teeth clean, they make the rest of the teeth look clean. That's my tip for the week. But yes, you did. You said, oh, have you had your teeth done?
Mm.
I said, I haven't.
Thought you'd been off to Turkey.
Turkey.
Thought he's been down Turkey. Where's Jurgen Klopp, speaking of teeth?
He is 14th.
We'll be fuming about that.
He will.
He'll be fuming.
Top 10, then. Dyche at 10.
Wow! No, I mean, no offence. Dyche ahead of Klopp is a big call, right? Dyche ahead of De Zerbi.
Yeah, so it's Dyche 10, Ten Hag 9, Kompany 8, Nuno at 7, oof. Silva at 6, Thomas Frank at 5, I think is baffling.
Yeah, that's an odd choice.
Especially...
Who's just... done this? Like, votes?
Yeah, well, I didn't get a ballot.
It's AI.
Oh, it's AI.
It's a bloody Android. Yeah, yeah, there we go. Well, I reckon they've sent in a good picture of Frank, because it will have must have just done it on like facial symmetry and all that shit.
Yeah, that's true.
The AI can't tell the essence of a man.
Postecoglou at 18 for me, he's top 10.
I like the way he's. I liked his stuff on Plastic Fans. Did you see that?
I did. Do you know what? I like it when people challenge the orthodoxy.
Yes.
In or outside of the church, and I thought. Postecoglou saying, actually, don't mock international fans because it would have meant the world to me to be able to go and watch Liverpool as a kid. You think, okay. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I just think, no, it's a good point that it still means something. They're human beings who've travelled a long way.
Yes, and I think people conflate two issues there because obviously you don't want the game to be completely dictated to by an international market. So you don't want games at absurd times just because there'll be a lot of viewers in San Francisco or China or wherever it is. But equally, I don't think it's fair to say that fans travelling to watch football in this country is stopping people from the Tottenham area going to watch Tottenham. That's because of ticket prices and absurd things like that. It's not the fault of people who are willing to travel a long way to watch football.
No, that's true. And a lot of Spurs fans, or any club, any big club, will have fans that travel from all over the country anyway. So what do you say?
He's trying to get it back.
What am I trying to get back?
Well, you said Spurs are a big club, and that's a little olive branch to landlord Danny, isn't it? He's just saying, yeah, you support a big club, mate.
Oh, honestly, there was no sycophancy involved at all in my analysis. It was purely, they are a big-ish club. What I meant was, it's not just Spurs. It's
big-ish.
Your Arsenals, your Man United, your Man City's, your Liverpool's.
It is hard to get a ticket, though, at Spurs now, because Matt Ford's there every week, so.
I've been twice.
Favourite ground.
It's a great stadium.
You've been doing to Spurs twice this year, have you?
No, I haven't been at all this season. I don't know if you saw the news, mate, but I had my back opened up. I went last season and I think I went the season before. I've been a couple of times.
How many times? Danny helped
me get a ticket, actually, and then we met up. Oh, that's it. I met up with Danny last time we went to watch Spurs-Chelsea. It was 2-0. Oliver Skipp scored an absolute screamer. It was good fun. It's a great ground. John, you and I should go to Spurs and we can meet up with landlord Danny.
Yes, okay. I like that.
You didn't sound too keen. There was a definite pause there.
No, I do want to see the new guy. I must admit my mind is more on probably a non-league game. I do want to see Spurs Stadium, but I find myself turning more and more from the top six and more to let's go to, for example, the lovely day out we had at Matlock, the way we were treated at Sheffield FC, the quality of the beer you can get, the proximity to the pitch, the ability to hear the screaming, just a game that is a game that doesn't then have 48 hours of constant rolling analysis over a decision made by someone watching a video 50 miles away. I find myself turning more and more to that side of football.
Well, you're in for a treat because we've had an email.
We never have.
We have. From Scott.
Just the one.
Now, you may remember we talked about Weymouth the other week and the minutes applause that
we
was
did.
Forgotten.
And I was quite dismissive of how easy it would have been to stop a game because it's been on my mind. Shot my mouth off and I've been shitting myself all week.
You're about to be shot down by a highly credible source. I can't believe the opening 8 words of this email.
Oh, never was a pause so well justified. I thought, what the fuck's happened there? Is his internet dropped out? Oh, no, that's the sound of Matt Ford counting to 8. I'm going to listen back to that just to hear if I can hear Undo Bath. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I was as well. You will be able to hear it. You will be able to hear it because that's what I was doing. I could hear myself saying it out loud. I was a player for Weymouth this night.
Oh, holy shit.
And with nearly 1,000 fans, it would be harder than you think to tell the ref you forgot, as players and managers have a job to do, and the chairman would have been high in the stands with other VIPs. Keep up the amazing work, Scott. Phenomenal. Oh,
sit me down.
Oh, my word. Scott, he played in that game. See, you wanted to put that whole minutes applause, minutes silence thing to bed. It has created rich content for this show.
Yeah, fair dues. You can't. I mean, the day I question a source like Scott with no surname who just said I was playing, I mean, why would he lie?
Yeah.
I think he's full of shit, mate. I think he's going in bullshit corner.
Oh, my God. Two strands meet. Yeah. The minutes applause, plus you're putting a footballer in bullshit corner.
I think we need to go to Weymouth. I think we need to meet Scott, watch him play, and then do a head count. And if there's anything less than 1,000 people there and Scott doesn't play the full 90 minutes and score, I think he's lying.
Okay. Well, Scott, if you can get us... Well, we can buy our own tickets. We don't need a free...
Oh,
we do.
You can't be taking money from lower leagues.
Okay. South Coast, nice place to go.
The local brewery is. I'm not familiar of any breweries in that sort of area. There's a brewery called the Doghouse.
Okay. That
sounds
great.
In Weymouth.
And it's near Chesil Beach, which on Chesil Beach, of course, a famous book.
Yes.
That I remember you liking.
Go on, Phil Foden. Tell me about it.
Isn't there something about... I only know what you've told me about on Chesil Beach. There's something about ejaculate involved in it. Isn't that right? I remember you telling me about this. I was like, why are you reading a book like that?
Well, I tell you what, if I've read it, I've got absolutely no memory of it whatsoever.
On Chesil Beach. And
yeah,
I think I remembered it because it sounds a bit like Jizzle. And I think that Chesil Jizzle is like merged in my mind.
Hey, sounds like the sort of thing I would talk about.
You have a look. On Chesil Beach. Book by Ian McEwan. It was on the 2007 Booker Prize shortlist. Oh, I'm going to have to search for ejaculate. Yes. Oh, my God. Okay. Basically, it's about premature ejaculation.
Okay. We've talked about this.
You told me about it. I'm sure you did.
Did I blurt it out very quickly?
We were in your car.
I've written a book and it's about spunking. Let me put my seatbelt on.
Yeah. You read books like this more than I do. I'm more political biographies and footballers' autobiographies.
Yes.
But
do you know what I read this week? I read a classic this week.
Yeah.
And it's lovely that we're having this conversation because I don't want to create the impression that I do this, but I read, I'd say, one of the hundreds. I bet it's on all those lists of 100 books you must read before you fucking die, or whatever they're called.
I was furiously turning pages in those waiting
rooms.
And
its title also contains a reference to spunk.
Oh.
Sort of.
What, Chesil Beach?
What's another word for spunk? A more medical term?
Semen.
Yes.
David Semen.
I don't think David Seaman's autobiography is in the top 100. Rejig those two syllables.
Mancy.
Yeah, and then put some other words in there. What was my last tour called before Nidiot? No, before Nitwit.
Nidiot.
After Nidiot.
Old Man.
Yes, come on.
Old Man C.
Yes.
Old Man C. I don't know, Old Man. I feel stupid, just tell me.
The Old Man and the Sea.
Oh, The Old Man and the Sea.
Yeah.
Is Hemingway. It a good book? I've never heard of it.
Never heard of The Old Man and the Sea by Hemingway?
Oh, God, it's Hemingway. God, I feel so...
Martin Yowell's favourite book.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a good fact.
Fucking
that
hell.
Is a good fact, and it came so fast, Danny.
Because I read it after Martin Yowell recommended it.
That is a very good strand. Books that you've had recommended to you by footballers, I think is... I bet there'll be loads of people who've read books because they've seen a footballer reading it or had it, you know, like films. Bielsa is big into classic film. And even I, as an absolute Bielsa widow, have never looked into any of the films that I've seen in reference or directors. But he's very high up in the Argentinian film literati. Is he? That's the right term.
Well, yeah, this is great. Yeah.
When he goes home, that's what he does. When he goes back to Argentina, he have a big barbecue on the terrace of the house and invite many local intellectuals to talk about film and watch cinema.
I mean, this is the thing. Footballers do like books and films, and they like cold cuts of meat, and they like all sorts of things.
The big three.
The big three. Film,
meat, film,
books,
and literature.
Okay. Hello at downthedog.com if you've ever read a book based on a footballer's recommendation.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can I ask you a quick question, John?
Yes.
Would you have Bielsa back now if he became available?
Oh, you son of a
bitch. He's got full question time.
Oh.
Dan the Dog will be coming from Peterborough next week, if you'd like to call them.
fill that pint glass up and I'll tell you. And this one's on you because you've made me need that extra pint. So this one's on the house, yeah?
Yeah, go on then.
I think you're his favourite, John. He's often very curt with me. He's giving you free landlord.
Well, he's given me absolute agonies. That's a question I've never dared to think. And I'll tell you what's going around my head. I don't think you can. I don't think you can. Because how can it get any better than it is now? It can't. You can't, short of winning at Huddersfield and having won 13 games in a row, it can't get better than it is now. So how can you possibly change Farker? But I'm just in the back of my mind thinking, oh, if we go up and we've got 49ers money, the stadium gets redeveloped and Bielsa's back. It's wonderful.
So it's
I'm
yes
contemplating.
No.
I'm going to answer this fairly. I'm going to say, no, I wouldn't take him back at the moment because I believe in rewarding people for the work they've done. And Farker literally could not have done better with the situation he was in when he came in. Players wanting out, ownership changeover, couldn't ratify the new owner, so couldn't spend any money, didn't know what was going on. I don't think he's put a foot wrong this season. The way he's managed game time, the way he's managed the ascent of Archie Gray, He's an exceptional, exceptional manager. However...
I love hearing you wrestle with this.
Bielsa's Uruguay are coming to France to play two friendlies in a couple of weeks. And I'm contemplating heading to Lens to watch Uruguay versus Côte d'Ivoire just to see his wonderful face again. And is that insane?
I don't think it's insane. I think as a football fan, going to football matches is always a good idea. And it's cool to go and see different teams and stuff like that. I think if it were me and it was, say, Brian Clough was then an international manager, I would, of course, want to go and watch that team play football.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a butt coming. There's a big butt coming.
No, I think you should go. I like big butts and I cannot lie. I think you should go. I think that would be a good idea. I love your argument against Bielsa, basically.
Oh, don't mind it like that, because I already feel like a turncoat bastard.
I know, but that's why Landlord Danny is so impressive in the way that he's
found. It was a hell of a question, that, wasn't it?
He's really punched the bruise on this one.
Just when you think he's not listening.
Oh, he's listening. He's like, He's like a big game hunter, isn't he? He's just stalked you, and then just as you've emerged onto the rising mist of the glen, a single bullet rips through the air, and it's all over. Oh, John, I feel for you. Tough question, but you answered it well.
What were you going to say about my argument against Bielsa?
That it was rooted in what I thought was great was that it came from a core value, that of meritocracy, was that actually Daniel Farke was doing a good job, that it would be improper to relieve of him his duties when he is fulfilling his job description and he's got you to the top of the league. And I think what is also, you have to say on the other side of that impossible seesaw that you found yourself on is the acknowledgement that when Bielsa left, you were crap. And the fear is he would come back and be crap again. Isn't that the real fear?
Oh, no. No, I misinterpreted what you meant there. When you said when Bielsa left, you were crap. What you meant was after Bielsa was crap. So as in the Jesse Marsh era. Was dog shit, and it was.
What you mean is the last games
under Bielsa were crap.
Yeah, Bielsa in the end was rubbish, and that was why he was fired.
You must take that back.
No, I mustn't, and I won't.
You've had enough, mate. I'm going to throw him out.
What are you going to call me for the podcast? What's going on here?
Bielsa in the end was crap. I mean, that is...
The results were. Why did they fire him then?
I'm going to get you. Yeah, okay, the results were bad because there was not sufficient investment in the infrastructure, and that investment which was made was misspent. These are not Bielsa's problems. Okay?
No, because... Okay, so how was he able to be successful prior to that then?
Because...
Under the same straitjacket.
He was able to absolutely revolutionise the value of that squad by turning players... such as Calvin Phillips, Stuart Dallas, Liam Cooper, Luke Ayling, into international standard, exceptional athletes. He then was very clear going into that final season, you need to replace me or nearly all of the squad. They did neither, and he was proven to be right. And
I'll tell you what happened.
Go on, mate. You tell me.
He inherited a squad that it contained talented players like Luke Ayling, like Calvin Phillips, and he got a lot out of them based on this whole murder ball business, which at first was great because it got you fit and your fitness was what was underpinning a lot of your results. He knackered them out.
Oh, you're such a Sky pundit wanker.
He knackered them out.
Sat there at half time. Well, do you think they'll tie a second half, Matt Ford? You can see it now, mate. They're fools.
The legger. He knackered
them out. Absolute bollocks. Let me ask you some of the key managerial favourite books.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you, because you will like this very much.
Okay.
The favourite book of former, it says Aston Villa here, but I don't think that's what he's known for, the former Leeds manager, David O'Leary.
Okay, I'm going to just ask a couple of questions. Okay. Is it a novel?
It's, fiction.
Okay. David O'Leary.
The author will surprise you. It will delight you. It's an author you know well and you like, but it's not one that you see referenced, I don't think, very often as somebody's favourite novel of all time.
I'm going to go Roald Dahl and Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator.
But you do the man a disservice.
It's for adults.
It's an adult author, and I believe you may have a book signed by this author. It's not Rankin, no, for South of the Border, a political link.
Alan Johnson, no. Geoffrey Archer.
Geoffrey Archer.
Excellent. Not a penny more, not a penny less.
No.
Cain and Abel. Wow.
David O'Leary's favourite book of all time.
It is a good book.
Cain and Abel.
It's a great book. Good choice, Dave, if you're listening.
Wayne Rooney.
Ah, now, didn't he admit that he just picked the film because he hadn't read the book?
It's certainly better known as a film series. Better known is unfair, but equally
Jurassic
well
Park.
Known. Less adult.
Harry Potter.
Yeah,
really?
Absolutely. Yeah, the Harry Potter series.
Fair play, man.
By J.K. Rowling.
Fair play.
And we're going to end on the favourite book of Paul Jewell.
Interesting.
And I want you to think. Oh, go on. Have a stab in the dark. Then I'll guide you in.
I'm going to go. It was novel.
Yes.
Da Vinci Code.
No, I don't think you're a million miles off. I want you to think of how you were dressed when we first met and what you'd been doing.
Oh, I Partridge, Steve Coogan's book.
It's not. It's the favourite book of his character.
Oh, Bravo 2-0.
It's Bravo 2-0 by Andy McNab, which actually improves with every read.
Oh, I've never read it. Have you?
No, I don't think I have. Should we both read it this week? Should we do the Dog and Bastard Book Club?
That's a great idea. The Bastard Book Club. The
Bastard
BBC.
Books.
Yeah, you know what? Some pubs have that, don't they? They have a little library in the corner and where people can pick up books and
it's a big part of the what is the future of a pub in an age where people drink less and they can't afford to go out as much. The pub has to become the epicentre of its community. And if that means hosting a book club on a Tuesday afternoon where people drink fucking tea all afternoon, but they're welcome to come. Of course they are.
Yeah, great. This week's book is Bravo 2-0, which none of us have read. If you have read it, email us, hello@downthedog.com. I think it's probably very exciting.
Yeah, it's a classic, isn't it? Oh, there we go. Oh, it's on Spotify Premium as well, so I don't even have to pay for it. Wallop.
It's going to go audio book then. So you're going to listen to it.
Yeah, I've got some driving to do this week. So I'm going to level with you as a working dad. I don't have a lot of time to sit and read, but what I do have is lots of time traveling, and I'm trying to reach my target weight, so I'll be on the treadmill. I might stick it on the treadmill. If you want to go full Partridge and picture me on a cross trainer in a pair of tight shorts that I've had since I was 11 years old, listening to Bravo 2-0 by Andy McNab.
What an image. It's the
what
ABC
is wrong with my life?
Audio Book Club.
We've had a nomination for this week's Pub Dog from Neil, who says, "Hello, guys." I know he says hi. I've changed it to hello. I can't get sued for that sort of thing, can I? Sort of paraphrasing. I know you asked for dogs who'd had major surgery, but what about one who's caused major surgery?
Oh, God, is it an XL bully?
It's not an XL bully, no. I can't see... doesn't mention the breed, and I'm not entirely sure what kind of dog that is. Perhaps Neil can get back. It's a lovely dog, but
well, you're a dogman. What's your best guess?
I think it's a little bit. It's hard to tell. I've got a big head and I'm not seeing much of the body. It looks in build. It's like a fat greyhound. It does like a little bit. There's a little bit of something in there, maybe.
Staffy?
Bull Mastiffy, or something like that. It's like a pointy-eared, there's maybe some terrier in there, I don't know. There's a lot gone on. There's been a busy night at the kennels. And anyhow, Derek has come out. So he says, "You may remember me as the one-legged fellow who broke his other foot and had a moon boot. Is about how Derek hospitalised my fiancée, Kaylee. I was out walking Derek. Kaylee was ahead on a narrow path. I unleashed him, by which I think he means let the dog off the lead. Otherwise, it's a horrible story. And shouted, 'Get mummy. Chopper, sick balls.'"
God, that makes me laugh.
"I shouted, 'Get mummy,' and 'Get mummy' he did. As you can see, he's very cute and smiley, but has the head of a fucking brick. He ran through Kaylee and snapped her ankle in half. On paper, she had exact same break to her ankle as mine, only mine was broken by a Ford Mondeo into thousands of pieces. Kaylee had a clean break, only held together by her Wellington boot. Two surgeries, two plates, and 12 screws later, she's back to full health. Cheers, lads. Neil."
My God.
Whoa.
This leads such a dangerous life.
VAR on whether she heard the shout of "Get mummy," because that to me... shifts the blame heavily from the dog to Neil.
But you're very much pro dog, aren't you? So your whole worldview is no bad dogs, only bad owners. So you've got to, you know, you are politically motivated. This is a factional attack on human beings.
It is, but you know, do you guns don't kill people? People kill people. Do you blame the gun or the person that fired it? He said himself, "I unleashed him." You know, it's very aggressive terminology from Neil. "I unleashed a weapon and set it upon my partner."
Guns aren't sentient, are they? You don't...
On a narrow path, he knows what he's doing.
You reckon? You wanted it.
Ah, he knows what he's doing, yeah.
The impact of dog on bone can never be underestimated. And they love to chew bones. And I've got to tell you, John, we're made of them. And that's why I'm always slightly wary. They want to give us a good old slobbering, I'm telling you. Once they realise we've bones inside us, it's game over.
Okay.
But he's at this week's pub dog. But it's a dangerous one. So just maybe keep him on a leash over in the corner. We can go over and, you know, we can, I was going to say pet him, but that sounds so American. We can stroke him, play with him. You taught me how to touch dogs and I'll always be grateful for that.
I mean, that sounds awful.
No, but it's that little kind of almost massage around the back of the skull, base of the skull. Give him a little kind of scratchy, moving, almost piano fingers. Just that, you're rotating.
Well, you are a pianist.
Well, not so much these days. I'm a bit of a pub player.
You're a pianist. I've heard you play, mate.
I can knock out a tune.
Joanna in the dog.
We should have. Yeah. We'll have an upright. We're not going to go for a grand piano. Take up too much space. But get an upright over by Colostomy Corner.
Stick it by the dartboard. Hilarity will ensue. Well, that's all we've got time for this episode. We'll be back at the end of the week with another.
Don't forget to email us hello@downthedog.com with what was the book thing?
Well, books or films that you've watched or read as a result of being recommended them by a footballer.
Yes. Give us your pub dogs, nominate yourself for Colostomy Corner, and indeed for Bullshit Corner, and join us on another slice where for the price of just half a pint a month, you can get the exclusive Down the Dog lock-in. You get a couple of extra episodes a month, outtakes and much more, and it has a lock-in feel, John. There is a more illicit adult vibe to it. It's naughtier. Go to anotherslice.com/downthedog and leave a 5-star written review, share, subscribe, and remember...
Don't get up the cat.
Don't fuck your stoma. Bye.
Bye.